Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right, we're back right after a picnic. We had a picnic on Sunday.
That's right. Now, today's Tuesday. The picnic was Sunday.
That's right.
It sounded like we just got back from a picnic.
Yeah, we didn't just get here.
Josh and I did not just come from a picnic.
Yeah, that's not how we prep for the podcast.
But we had a picnic on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were shooting for fall weather, but I don't know that we quite got fall weather, but it was nice.
It was great.
Lovely weather. Yeah.
I think I've informed people before that I don't choose the dates of our picnics.
Yep.
Because it rains.
That's right.
I have nothing to do with the date of these things.
That's right.
Anymore.
Yeah. Well, it was good to fellowship with everybody.
Good day it was, and a good day Sunday at Grace Community Church. Enjoyed seeing people and worshiping the Lord together.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we were continuing on in Acts. We moved on from Acts 2.
We did.
And we're in Acts 3.
Yes, and a whole chapter in one Sunday.
Yeah, that's a departure from the pattern we had established beforehand.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So give us a little overview.
Well, we're still, so everybody get familiar with Acts.
Mm-hmm.
The first part of it happens in the city of Jerusalem, and it is the day of Pentecost, and then what came immediately after, in the days, weeks, months after the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came upon the church.
Mm-hmm.
That was all Acts 2. Now, Acts 3, after Pentecost, we get more another view into the life of the church, the events of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles, more sermon, and that sort of thing. Acts 3, there's a miracle of healing.
Mm-hmm.
A man who is unable to walk since his birth was healed. And there's that great line, he wants alms. He needs financial support and help from Peter and John, and they say they don't have silver or gold, but what they do have, they will give to him. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. So he's healed by the Spirit through Peter and John. And then that leads to the crowd getting involved. They're amazed at what happened. And in the middle of that, Peter starts preaching and assures everybody that it's not by his or John's power or piety that this man was healed, but Jesus did it.
Right.
In the name of Jesus is the power for that, which then launches him into a sermon. And the whole point that I made on Sunday was Jesus said in John chapter 15 that when the Spirit comes, he will bear witness about Christ, about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have what we have here is a real time example of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, through first a healing,
mm-hmm.
then a sermon. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness about Jesus, and so that was our point, is to think about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. How do we know the Spirit's activity?
Mm-hmm.
What is the gospel message that the Spirit brings to us? What should we be paying attention to? All focusing on who Jesus Christ is, and then once again the need to repent, and then the promise of forgiveness of sin, and refreshing, or the Holy Spirit coming to us as we do. So that's an overview of what we talked about on Sunday.
That's great. You know, that's just thinking about preaching. You know, that's making me think like why context is important, because mm-hmm. you know, somebody could look at chapter 3. Not see the Holy Spirit mentioned,
right?
And say, how are we getting the Holy Spirit out of this? But if you read chapter 2, like the Holy Spirit has come now, and everything past here, we're seeing the activity of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Well, that's good. And that's what I was trying to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the danger of not seeing the context would be to focus too much on the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Start wondering, you know, about the nature of miracles and what are they doing? Why do we need them? Do we need them? And you know, things like that, technique, and you just get off into all kinds of things. But if you just stop and say, no, this is an episode in the grand story of the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and the church about Jesus, mm-hmm. then the whole chapter takes on a new sense and a new meaning for you.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's really helpful. A couple of things that come to mind, I think, on this that stuck out from the sermon. One was you mentioned the question of some people who had visited at one point about Grace being a Spirit-filled church. Mm-hmm. And in the sermon, you mentioned that that seemed to mean a set of experiences.
Yeah.
And you talked about that some there, but I'd love for us to just have a little bit of discussion about, like, what does it mean for a church or maybe for an individual to be Spirit-filled?
Okay. Well, it means to be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
it means that God's Spirit is actually in us, regenerating, making alive our spirit, mm-hmm. and then controlling us, having sway and influence and control over our spirit as we are yielded to Him. And then it means in that process then of yielding to the Spirit that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives for various things, like the Holy Spirit is active in our lives to lead us further to Christ, to conform us to His image, to do character renovation, character change, renewal in our mm-hmm. lives, bear the fruit of the Spirit, which has to do with character change, and then continue on to give witness to Christ. So that's what it means. It first of all means that we are born again of the Spirit, and so we're new people. And then the Holy Spirit, again, taking control, taking authority over our spirit, and we submitting, and then the Holy Spirit working in our lives for these things. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Okay. So somebody could walk into a congregation, and on the, they got their looking glasses on, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'm looking to see if this congregation is filled with the Spirit. They might not see everything they were looking for in a physical okay. sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The things that you're talking about are largely not things that you would just be able to observe walking into a room.
Right. So I think you're, and then tying it back to the illustration I used on Sunday, I think mm-hmm. I think what you're getting at is what are the outward evidences of, say, a Spirit-filled church? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, just to, again, some people will use that term. They'll say this is a Spirit-filled person or this is a Spirit-filled church based on certain things that really don't reveal much about the heart of a person. So in a congregation, it could be how expressive they are in their Sunday morning or other worship gatherings. They're going to equate emotional or physical expressions with being filled with the Spirit. I don't think that would be healthy. People have emotional and physical expressions at all kinds of musical settings, mm-hmm. concerts or whatever, football games. There's more emotional expression at a typical high school, college, professional football game than there is anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's really not the test of is the Holy Spirit active,
right?
Either in the individual or in the church.
Yeah.
The test, according to Acts and according to Acts 3, is the exaltation of Christ. That's what I was driving at on Sunday from Acts 3. Mm-hmm. The evidence of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does is He bears witness about Christ. He exalts Christ. Mm-hmm. So in that context, a person filled with the Holy Spirit is being conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 are the character qualities of Christ, all right? And a church that is filled with the Spirit is a church that is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is ordering their lives as a congregation around the will of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Doing evangelism is an evidence of the Holy Spirit active in a congregation.
Yeah.
So that's what it means. I think another thing too, we use the word, is this a Spirit-filled congregation or not, or is this a Spirit-filled person or not? It's almost, I understand the terminology, but it can be misleading. Here's what we need to understand. The Christian has the Spirit. That just is.
Yeah.
You cannot be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit residing with you. Because being a Christian is to have Christ in you.
Right.
How is Christ in us? By His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The church, Pentecost, is irrevocable. And that God has poured out His Spirit on His church. So when God's people are together, the Spirit of God is among them. Now, we could quickly say that the person who is sinning against the Lord, the person who is neglecting their faith, is not experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit to conform them to the image of Christ like they could or should. Mm-hmm. They might be grieving the Holy Spirit, and God will convict and bring them back. Likewise, the church that neglects to preach the gospel, the church that neglects love and obedience, is a church where the presence of the Holy Spirit might not be sensed, and the Holy Spirit's activity might not be as strong among the people who are coming there, mm-hmm. but the Holy Spirit is there.
Right.
Because Pentecost, God has poured out His Spirit on the church. So we just need to be careful the language that we use, and also to realize that it's not something that we do in terms of activities or strategies or style or mood building or anything like that, a set of behaviors that make us more filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It is about submitting our lives to Christ. It is about loving the Lord. It is about seeking Him and knowing the promise of God for the Spirit and believing that He is with us and then obeying Him.
Yeah.
And then trusting that His Spirit is working among us through the means of grace, prayer and the Word and the fellowship and obedience and those sorts of things.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some exercise of discernment that has to happen, right? You walk into one church where things don't visibly seem super exciting in mm-hmm. some kind of physical mm-hmm. sense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Holy Spirit's not actively involved in that congregation. And at the same yeah. time, you could walk into a church where it is very lively and it might feel very emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're only looking at this kind of way that this looks in this moment, if we're missing out on the things that we've mentioned, exalting Christ being
yeah.
the big forefront of that, right?
Yeah.
Then we would be mistaking mm-hmm. An emotional yeah. response for Spirit-filledness.
Yes.
When that might not be the case.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would go further and say that we could grieve the Holy Spirit if we don't keep Jesus Christ of Nazareth at the heart and center. So mm-hmm. let's go back to Acts 3. A miracle happened. Even the people who are rejecting Christ in chapter 4 will not deny that an actual miracle happened.
Yeah.
Peter and John, the Holy Spirit through Peter and John, raised this man up so he could walk. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But Peter quickly, immediately, will not let the people focus on the miracle. He just says, no, this miracle is to get you to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He did this. It's in His name. So you see what Peter's doing there. He's not going to grieve the Spirit. He knows it's the Holy Spirit, but he's not going to grieve the Spirit by letting anything, a miracle itself, take priority and capture the attention of these people more than the person and the work of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That is what the Spirit is doing. He is moving our attention to Christ. And that we just need to just keep saying that
over
and over. Periodically, you know, we live in Nashville, and in every city there's always something going on or something. Maybe it's something around the country. And we say, oh, look what's happening there. Look what's happening there. Look, it's, okay, great. Let's look what's happening there. What is happening there? Who is being exalted there? Mm-hmm. Who is being declared as Lord? You know, who is ruling and reigning in the minds and the hearts of these people? What's the focus here?
Yeah.
And if it's something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then something's not right. Hmm. I think that can be borne out through all the New Testament.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Chapter 4 next week?
Yes, we're going to be in chapter 4. And here is, so this has all happened. The miracle, mm-hmm. Peter shifting to Jesus and his preaching of Jesus, and then it annoys, the whole thing is annoying to the religious leaders and many of the Jews of Jerusalem of that day. And so they, yeah, now comes the opposition. But as we will see, the Holy Spirit in Peter, it says very specifically, Peter filled with the Spirit, he is going to come right back and preach Christ again to them and call them again to think on their ways. Okay. He's filled with the Spirit.
All right.
I could preach it now.
It sounds like it. Well, we'll look forward to it then.
Thanks.